This is Marie Lurie continuing an interview with Gloria Elbling. Gloria, would you tell us a little more about the Jewish Federation?
I've had a strong tie to the United Jewish Federation. That's the title in this city, and every city it goes under a different title. I feel that it certainly has a role to play. It's perceived as not being too democratic, and a fundraising organization, unfortunately, can't be democratic. It's always the big giver who ends up being the leader. There's never a capstan or a poor person who would end up being the president of the federation in any city. And I think that that's the way it's going to end up for all times. However, they do have a definite role to play. The fact that they have a budget committee that really studies the needs of the Jewish community, the fact that as a strong, large movement with access to bigger monies, they can accomplish a great deal more than an individual organization. There is a saying, and I don't know whether I've used it before, that ein mensch is kein mensch. In Yiddish it means one person is nobody, and so that you need a whole movement in order to accomplish something. Because of the way the Federation is set up, they are able to reach out first to really big money in the community, to set up endowments and foundations, and also they're able to implement the staffing and to make sure that they have directors, that all the different agencies function within the community. They're able to conduct big studies, the demographic studies, needs of the community. Should we have a Jewish hospital? Is there a need for such a thing? The whole setup at the Home for the Aged. They're able to take in programs that sometimes are started by organizations, let's say the National Council of Jewish Women. Eventually, a program that they started that was very relevant at the moment is being taken over on a larger scale or in partnership with the Federation. The same thing holds true within the Zionist movement. It was the Zionist movement that, let's say, started the Salute to Israel parade. Eventually, the Federation took this over, and this is what happens in cases where Jewish educational institutions need support. We probably aren't giving enough support for Jewish education, because if we're to survive, that's the one place where we have to put more of our eggs in that particular basket. But they have stepped in with scholarship money and with funding and support for day schools, which are now very viable and needed within the Pittsburgh community. This could not be accomplished without a Jewish Federation. I think I mentioned before that at one time I was involved in the grassroots level. I don't have the time right now. That there's just a limit to how many meetings a person can go to. And even though I spread myself sometimes too thin, and once somebody asked in the beauty shop I was sitting there many years ago, why is your picture always in the Chronicle? And my beauty operator at that time said, well, if you would do more, they wouldn't have to put her picture in. So there were times that I didn't do a job the way I wanted to do it or do it 100%, but on the other hand, if no one else was there to do it, at least I was doing something in that particular area.
May I ask how you feel about having a Jewish hospital in a community? And of course, in that regard, how you feel about our Jewish hospital being absorbed?
Well, I think there was a time when we needed a Jewish hospital in order to make sure that we had a place for Jewish doctors to do their training, take part of it in their training and their internship. The same thing held true with Jewish nurses.
It was very, they were not accepted.
They were not accepted in the secular hospitals. And as a result, we needed this place. We also needed a hospital to service the Jewish community, especially the immigrant community that was very concerned with the kashrut, and also making sure that they were comfortable within that hospital once they had to be hospitalized. However, as the years went on and doors were opened to Jewish doctors and other in university hospitals and other hospitals, and nurses became very popular and actually in great demand, I think that the hospital lost its main role. It still had a role with Jewish patients, and unfortunately it was not even meeting that particular role. When I was in Brazil, the Jewish hospital there, the Albert Einstein Hospital, all the food in that hospital was kosher. And in our hospital, it was only kosher on request. We didn't keep the Shabbat in the hospital as we probably could have. I mean, certainly necessary surgery could have gone on, and medical care could have gone on, and nursing care. But there were many things that we did not do to make sure that there was a Jewish presence in that hospital. I think we were spending a lot of money there that wasn't needed. We ended up servicing the indigent community. A good bit of a high percentage of the patients in the hospital were not Jewish patients. There certainly is a need for this in the city, but we don't have to carry that burden. When, as far as Jews are concerned, I feel very strongly that we aren't that great in numbers, and we have a limited amount of dollars, and I think that we should concentrate our service and our money for Jewish institution and Jewish services. I mean, if we want to give token gifts or token services, I feel strongly there are times you have to do it in order to live in a community. On the other hand, I don't feel that major dollars or even volunteer hours should be put into a Jewish hospital today. So I certainly have no strong misgivings about the sale of the hospital. I think there comes a time, and you have to know when the time comes, when there is no longer a need for either an educational institution, a social service organization, a women's organization too. There's a time for, just like in a corporation and in a country, nothing stays on forever, and you have to be smart enough to know when to quit and when to step away.
Move on. Onto a completely different topic. Can I ask you just for impressions, perhaps, on the years of prohibition? Could you have any comments on that? Or World War I, Korean War, Vietnam War?
I don't have...
Any of them have an impact on your life?
I don't think that the years of prohibition had an impact on my life, nor do I remember too much or any of the influence of World War I. It's like today with young people, when you talk about World War II or the creation of the State of Israel, it's part of the written history. As far, even the Korean War did not affect me as much as the Vietnam War certainly affected me, mainly because we had two sons who were vulnerable for the draft, and both of them were pacifists, and I mean, spent hours sometimes crying, they're not going to carry your gun, they're not going into a foxhole, they're not going to shoot or kill anybody. And we thought at that time of even moving to Canada, we thought of moving to Israel, in spite of the fact that they'd have to serve in the army in Israel. It was still a better choice for us than serving in that particular war, which we felt we had no business being in. And as it turned out, both of our sons had very low draft numbers. One ended up in the reserve unit and eventually left the reserve unit because of health reasons. And the other one, thank God, was able to stay in college, whatever it was, and never was called up. But it was a very frightening period for us, and especially in this household.
Civil rights movement?
Well, I think I've expressed myself. We certainly consider ourselves liberal, but with everything with us, first comes Jewish survival. And I don't want to be, Golda Meir once said this too, and we feel very strongly, I don't want to be the nicest person on the cemetery. I don't want the non-Jew coming to the cemetery and saying, oh, wasn't Gloria Elbling a wonderful woman? You know, she was interested in all these things. Basically, when the chips are down, I'm for Jewish survival, even if it means hurting somebody. I mean, I want to make sure, it may not be popular. I don't want to be popular. I just want to be alive. And I want to make sure that future generations of Jews are alive. I don't think I would have gone to, I was probably in sympathy at the time, and I wasn't as knowledgeable about everything that's going on, probably was in sympathy with some of the marches in the South, and certainly I'm in great sympathy for the blacks and the uplifting of the black population. However, I wouldn't do it at our expense.
The birth of the State of Israel. We've probably covered that.
Right.
Well, certainly, right. Would you like to make any comments on that?
Well, I certainly think this was something that my grandparents and probably my great-grandparents just dreamed of, and we feel we were the privileged, we're alive, we're probably too close to it to really appreciate it, although we certainly appreciate it more because we were part of a history that heard it on television and on the radio, saw it, what was happening in the and the struggle that went on for the creation of the state. And immediately following the creation, we were also part of the history that saw the wars that took place. We saw how the Arabs attacked Israel at the time, and we were concerned with the complete annihilation of our people there, and it could easily have happened. Thank God it didn't, and it hasn't to this day. But we constantly have to have our antennas up. I mean, I don't think I have the Begin syndrome exactly, but I'm close to his thinking, you know, that we can't take anything for granted. So I don't know whether the creation of the state affected our children as much, although look, they've been raised in this household, so some of it is there, and probably more will come out as the years go by.
If you had to look back on your life, how would you view your accomplishments and your successes? Is there anything you wish you could have done that you haven't yet done?
Well, I think I've had more than I ever had hoped for or ever expected. I've been privy to great people and great events, and thank God to a good family life. However, I think if I were born today, I probably would be out more in the business world, working, maybe even traveling. And I see women in positions that I think I could have filled and carried on. I sometimes resent the fact that women work. I've resented the fact that they work and then they end up with pensions, with nice social security accounts, and rest on their laurels. Some of them came home earlier from, let's say, friends of mine that were teachers. They were home at 3:30 and did what they wanted and felt that they already contributed their share to society. And there were times when I resented the fact that I was doing these things. And maybe it wasn't appreciated, maybe I could have had remuneration, maybe I'd be in a better position now to contribute large amounts to the Federation, but I can't measure it in dollars and cents. I don't think I've regretted what I've done, or I don't know that I would change much. I think there are certain things that happen in your life that just unexpectedly move you into places and positions. I mean, there were times when I considered, for 9 years I had a real estate license and was trying to sell real estate. It wasn't the best of time. And there were times when I was offered positions, like an executive director of a volunteer or not-for-profit organization. And I thought about it. And then when I was elected to the national vice presidency, it's either that or something else. I'm not sure that that's the case today. I mean, we have women in national leadership positions today and also in local leadership positions who also hold full-time jobs, but they're treated differently. You couldn't do that years ago. I mean, today they're treated more like the men with support systems, and they aren't expected to do as much of the nitty-gritty things, the chair schlepping, the dishes, and menu planning, all of these things that we did. So,
are there things that you still would like to do?
Well, I'd probably like to play a better game of tennis.
That's the other side of Gloria that we never got to speak about.
That's right.
The interest.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I would like to ask you about.
When my husband retired, I thought we'd end up playing tennis every morning. I thought we'd go on walks. I see people walking. I don't think we've walked, we were in California once on a social trip, so we walked there, but we don't walk. I mean, I said, even
you're too busy.
Even today, I said, somebody's out playing tennis early. My husband's at his Hebrew class, and I'm here with this interview, and as soon as I finish with this, I have to go to the printers, and they're just, I was at the Chronicle, I just spoke to somebody from the Chronicle, so these are things that we do that other people don't do.
There are not enough hours in the day for you.
Exactly. And I said, I think we just have a different sense of value.
Mm-hmm.
There are times I feel I've neglected my social friends or our social life, and yet when you put everything in order, I sometimes think, well, they're so busy playing cards or Maj, and this is just not our lifestyle. We just aren't interested in that. And you know, even when we're in Israel, I think, look what they're missing. I mean, we have all this exposure and these experiences, and we make friends. We have friends on both sides of the ocean and friends from so many different countries. And Jewish people that think like we do and have the same sense of values. And I think these are the dividends that you gain from being involved.
And speaking about friends, are there any people that really stand out as being the most wonderful people you've ever met with? You always be grateful for having had this opportunity.
Well, one was a dear friend of mine who passed away. She was a past council president of Pioneer Women, was Irene Smolliver. So her dying day, there was nothing that was too difficult for her to do, and very encouraging. She didn't always get the limelight. I don't know how I ended up sometimes getting the limelight. I mean, she certainly had the background and the brains, and she knew more about the organization and was involved in starting our small group than I did at the time, because I came from a general Zionist family. My mother said, how could you join that organization, you know, those socialists, you know, that in this country the word socialist carried a different connotation. I'd say she was one of the ones that certainly influenced me. Some of our past presidents, Esther Zapper, who lives in Israel now, very strong, dynamic woman, was an attorney, actually didn't practice law much. She certainly influenced me. Our first president, Bert Goldstein, who was 95 the other day, and she lived in Israel for about 26 years, she certainly impressed me. I feel that Rabbi Goodman A. Rose, one of the first rabbis at the Beth Shalom, certainly impressed me as a young person.
Famous people like Golda Meir and other notable people.
Well, I think I was impressed with her, but I don't know that she changed the direction of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, somebody once said, when I became the national president, did you aspire, when you sat on the other side of the dais, did you aspire to sit on the dais? I never thought of it that way. Never pushed myself that I was going to be the one that was going to sit on the dais. I mean, things, whatever it was, just happened naturally. And as I say, there were sometimes there was no turning back. I mean, you just got into the steamroller and you were moving along. And you ended up in places you never thought you'd end up.
And to sum up, how do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now?
Now, I missed part of the question.
And how would you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the community as of today? Now,
I think, first of all, I'm very proud of the city of Pittsburgh. I always rave about the Jewish community. I think we've produced wonderful national leaders. We have very committed Jewish members here, Jewish people who live in the city. I think we have great respect for one another. We don't have the infighting that some of the cities have. I mentioned before the fact that we don't have all of the Zionist components in the cities, but in some cities they're constantly fighting each other, and that's not the case here. I think we cross over, all of us cross over from one organization to the other, and we don't always look into the philosophy even of the organization. If we if we're friendly with somebody, or if we respect somebody within that organization, or if we believe in what they're doing and some of the projects that they support, even if it's one project, we support that organization. I mentioned that I was honored by ZOA at their community dinner, and that was most unusual for any city. Whenever you mention Pittsburgh, and those of us, those that are involved in Jewish life, they too comment that your city is different. You're not like the other cities. So there is great cooperation in this city. I think we're moving in the right direction. I think our executive director, Howard Rieger, is doing a very commendable job. I think he's a Zionist. He may not be a registered Zionist or a card-carrying Zionist, because there are some Zionists that aren't card-carrying Zionists, but they certainly support the state of Israel and the survival of Jewish life. I think I started to mention before the support that we give to each other, the fact that we have this support group for Jewish patients. And just this past week, I'm constantly amazed and proud of the city that we have people that give keys to their houses to strangers, that go out to the airport to pick them up. And they do this with the Russian immigrants too. And they twin families and support them 100%. So if you want to get something done in this city, it will happen.
Of all your awards, is there one you treasure about all?
I don't know what I treasure above all. I think probably the high point was the fact that I just had a women's center named after me that was dedicated to me in Israel. It's not just a women's center, but it's a community center that serves the whole community in Herzliya. It's really one of the highest honors to see your name on a plaque on a building that's a beautiful building that's functioning, that's servicing a community. I was honored by Israel Bonds several times. I was honored by the conservative movement. I was honored by the city of Pittsburgh, one of the national leaders in Harrisburg. That was a big moment for me. However, I don't think that any of them stand out more than any of the others. And at this stage in my life, I just take it all in stride. I mean, it's not going to change me in any way.
Gloria, I am sure we could probably go on for another hour finding out more and more. But I think at this point we should end, as the tape almost at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say thank you very, very much on behalf of Harold and myself for the time you've given us. It's really a most
and I want to thank you for considering me a viable candidate for this project.
Well, the organization chose you, you know. They sift through a lot of people.
Absolutely. And I think the tape is about to end.
Very good.
If we started anything else, we'd be caught in the middle. And I mean, in fact, it's probably still running. Taking you, sure.
Anyhow, I don't know that you need any of this, but I just brought it.
Well,
down.
We said if you had any, you know, anything to do with your honors, for example.
All right, let me see. All right, they are going to name a lobby after me. It's another center in Israel.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be. They already raised the money. Pittsburgh raised the money for the lobby, and this is a big, beautiful center in Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for the groundbreaking. In fact, the young mayor at the time was there, but he died of a sudden heart attack, but he gave me this plate at the groundbreaking.
That's wonderful.
I mean, if I moved to Israel, that's where I'd move. It's such a beautiful area.
In Carmel.
Mm-hmm. Carmel.
Terrific.
Anyhow, so that's going to take place. If you want to go to Israel, we're going to have our convention. It's going to be very November of 91.
Yeah.
I mean, the building is really just about ready, but we're saving it because we want more people to be there. Plus the fact that this Rita Levin, the young woman that was killed on the bus in Israel, she was from Philadelphia, a lawyer. You remember that bus that was bombed?
Yeah.
She was very active in 9 months. So the Bar Association gave a good bit of money, and there's going to be a legal center of services at Carmel. So we want that whole group from Philadelphia to come on the trip, you know, for the dedication of that portion. This is the release on the center for that was just named after me.
Okay.
And I don't know whether you, this is just some stuff I have in my folder on my bios. Sitting around, this is, tells about one of Allegheny County's hardworking women.
Yes,
I was on
it. This is great, because I'd love to have this.
Anyhow, this is on the hardworking women. I was one of the hardworking women. 111 women were honored from Allegheny County, so I was one of them. This is a resume that I prepared once when I was thinking of going to work somewhere. So this was from Who's Who. This was from Preview Magazine. I think it's Oliver Shalom. I don't know. It was a women's magazine here in Pittsburgh. It was Women to Watch in 1986, and I was one of the women. So, great.
You didn't discuss the Girl Scout program. You never got onto that.
No, I was a Girl Scout. Right.
Well, they're going to have a big file on you, that's for sure.
Yes, this one too.
And this is from 19. Heather Stein was sending my name in to this YWCA. And I think because it was a Zionist organization, it just never would fly there. But anyhow, she sent it in and would write this up each year.
And you did give us your photograph.
I did give you the photograph.
Right.
This was the Women's Pennsylvania Campaign Fund, the Political Women's Campaign Fund. It was in Harrisburg. I was honored. And
well, that's a thick file.
And then I am involved with the Pittsburgh Coordinating Committee of Jewish Organizations for Reproductive Freedom. If I go to the meetings,
Reproductive Freedom.
That's right.
That's
and
a good name.
We're having Barbara Hafer. In fact,
oh, really?
For a short while, I'm disillusioned with her. But for a short while, for the first time in my life, I changed my registration. Because in the primaries, when I thought there would be, I'd have to really go and vote, I changed to Republican.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I couldn't vote for
it. Somebody that would be an opponent, although she's opened up her mouth a few times, and I don't know, I hope she's not completely sunk. But we have a meeting where she's going to be speaking coming up, I think it's at the Anathan House on the 30th in the morning. We've been meeting at 7:45 in the morning. And I don't go to all of those things, but I go to as many as I can when I'm here in the city. But she came, we were honoring special people in that night, and she came to see. I don't think she did her homework. She started to talk about guns, and she believes, in going out there and shooting. And
really?
Well, she didn't do her homework with the people she was speaking to.
Mm-hmm. She sure didn't.
She sure didn't. I mean, if any of us are, I'm for gun control, and I send in
sure.
money, and I send in money to man, for getting drunk drivers all
right.
the time.
Right, so do I.
So,
but I think they're confused with all these groups. I mean, even now, for pro-choice, there's so much literature coming in the mail, support us, support this.
Right, send
you
money.
Give money to everything. I mean, you are the legitimate group.
That's right.
There's a limit.
Most of them I tear up and throw out.
I do too.
All you support, you still tear them up.
Because once you're on the list, I'm on national list,
yeah.
You have no idea. I mean, you don't need to.
You're a hot project.
No, that's mine.
I have to take this to my aunt. I was getting it ready.
I think this is good on the tape because we have her in her natural background speaking off the record, right?
Right.
Anything else you'd like to say off the record, even though we're taping it?
See, these are all the exciting women in Israel that are involved. I mean, we have...
Speaking of a dynamic group, it sounds to me like we get on very well.
Well, I'll tell you, I learned an awful lot from you about pioneer women.
The daycare, we have the head of our daycare centers coming in here in October.
Mm-hmm.
But you could do something for Pittsburgh, surely. With your experience with daycare, I mean, they need a
Well, she's going to be speaking at the JCC. Look at these pictures. If they aren't winning pictures, look at this kid. This is a boy.
How do you...
And he's a girl.
Tell me, how do you feel about the Pittsburgh Daycare Center for Jewish children? Do we have such an organization, or is there such a thing?
I think they probably have a not a union, but I'm sure they have a professional group of Jewish daycare workers that meet. And
under whose auspices, though?
Oh, I don't know. There is a group that this Rita Gore who's coming in is going to speak to, and it's an in-service day. I mean, we have this in Israel. You know,
what is the answer, really, though? That every company should really have their own...
Well, I'm for Sophie. I think she's moving forward. I think she has the right idea whether it's going to get support or not, but I think she's absolutely right.
That's right, something.
As I said, even this Jewish hospital in Brazil, and I didn't discuss the wonderful trip I had in Brazil when they celebrated their 40th anniversary, and that Jewish community there is outstanding. They had a big daycare facility, modern. I wish we had all the equipment in Israel that they had at this hospital for all the workers.
And how is it being a Jew in Israel? I mean, in Brazil.
Well, actually, they don't have anti-Semitism that shows.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, they aren't allowed to raise money for Israel.
Really?
And they have to do it underhanded. They have to send the money underhanded. They have a beautiful building, and they don't have their name on the building.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And when they go into fundraise, they don't get receipts, and they can't collect dues as such. But they're a very strong group. First of all, I don't know how it is right now, because it's several years, and they've had many problems there with inflation and the black market. And I'm sure that a lot of the Jews lost a good bit of their money. They take the money out, but... It's difficult to take the money out.
Out of the country.
Right, out of the country. And they have people that just go and, like if you have money and you have money, and they go several times a year just to take the money out of the country to make sure they have it in other banks. They have to, because in one day they could lose everything.
But they're allowed to take their money out.
Now, the Jewish community there is very affluent. I mean,